The following message is by Dr. Matt Thornton, pastor of North Bryant Baptist Church. For more information, we encourage you to visit our website at northbryantbaptist.org.
You can open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. We're going to look at just one verse today, verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. The bedrock of societies throughout history and throughout the world is the family. Marriage and family date all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve. So I want you to consider that families predate churches by thousands of years. Christ didn't start his church until he was here in his public ministry. So this world has existed without churches, but not without families. And if we have strong, loving families, we will have a strong, wonderful society. That's what God desired in ancient Israel. And of course, he still desires that today, but sadly, we see the reverse so often. I want you to consider things, some facts about fatherless homes in America. There are over 18 million children in America who are without any type of father figure in the home. 18 million. And those children are more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to suffer from depression, obesity, more likely to drop out of school, live in poverty, commit crimes, go to prison, abuse drugs, abuse alcohol, and many, many other heartbreaking things. Now, thankfully, by the grace of God, those are not rules, just statistics. There are good and successful people we know who were raised without a father or without a good home life in general. But all kinds of research shows, and we know just by experience, how important it is to have a mother and a father in a home. It just so happens that's exactly the way God designed it. It's almost as if God knew that having parents would be beneficial. Of course God knew that. God knew how important families would be in this world. And so as we consider the fifth commandment this morning, it deals with family. Specifically, it deals with how parents are viewed and treated within their families. Look at Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Over the past several weeks, we've seen the first four commandments and how they impact specifically your fellowship, your relationship with God. All the way back to the first commandment, you worship God alone, no other gods. You do so without the aid of any idol images to represent Him. In essence, you represent Him. You take His name, and you do not take His name to this world in vain. And then last week, we saw the Sabbath. Remember that day that God consecrated by resting from your normal work and focusing on Him. Those were the first four commandments. They have a lot more to do with you and God than you and everybody else. But since your relationship with God directly affects your relationship with everybody else, they can't necessarily be separated. So these final six commandments that we transition to this morning deal with human relationships, how you treat other people. And these six commandments begin where you begin. With your parents. They begin in the home. Is it really that surprising that the first commandment about how we're to treat other people has to do with your family? It's foundational. If we will not treat our very own parents with the honor that they deserve, why in the world would we ever treat anyone with respect? One author said this, just as the relationship with Yahweh is the beginning of the covenant, so this relationship, parents and children, is the beginning of society. And he wrote the first human relationship. And so he said, no other human relationship is so fundamental and none is more important. Honoring parents, especially early on in the life of a child, is one of the best ways that that child grows up to learn that other people deserve dignity, other people deserve respect and honor, and that that child is not the final authority in his or her life. One author just simply said, honor implies authority. So as children grow and learn, if they refuse to submit to the authority of their own parents, why would they learn? Why would they submit to the authority of anybody else? Teachers, coaches, employers, police, governments, and ultimately God's authority. If people don't learn to submit to an authority, what would society look like? It would be complete chaos. Just a free-for-all. God knew that, of course. So as he spoke to the people, he commanded them to honor your father and your mother. Learning how to respect authority starts in the home. Now, I want you to notice two things that are not in this command. First, did you notice that God did not command people to love their parents? How many of you teenagers are glad to hear that? Don't raise your hands. Hey, Brother Matt said, I don't have to love you, Mom and Dad. That's not what I said, okay? The Bible commands us to love everyone, even including our enemies, okay? But this command does not have to do with love. The command has to do with honor, which is something different than love. What does it mean to honor someone? Listen to the way that what's involved in this Hebrew word. It's really fascinating. Literally, the Hebrew word for honor here has to do with heaviness. It was used in 1 Samuel to describe physically the high priest Eli. He was an overweight man, which, if you remember the story, played a role in his death. He's the high priest of Israel. Years after this, and he heard news that the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines in battle. And when he heard this news, the Bible says that he fell over backward from his seat, and his neck was broke, and he died, for the man was old and heavy. So what does that have to do with honor? Here's the connection. What happens if you place something heavy on something that's lighter or moldable or softer? Let's say you take a quarter and you put it on a piece of Play-Doh and you apply some pressure to that quarter to make it heavy, to put some weight on it, and then you lift the quarter up. What will be in the Play-Doh? It'll be the mark of that quarter, right? It will be an imprint. It will be the impression. So you can almost think of this word as something that's heavy is impressive. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, this word is actually used like that in connection with God. God's heavy in the sense that he's impressive. He's glorious and he deserves praise and majesty and honor, which brings us back to this command. Parenting is a heavy task. It's a weighty responsibility, one that comes with some embedded authority. Therefore, parents deserve honor. They deserve our respect. And that does mean recognizing their authority. It means that we view our parents and treat them differently than anyone else in our lives. I know a lot of people and I have a lot of relationships in my lives. I only have two parents. They're different from everyone else in my life. And honoring your parents is something that you never outgrow. I mentioned that love is not commanded here. Not that it's wrong, of course, but love is not mentioned in this command. But another thing that's absent from this command is the word children. Have you ever noticed that before? I honestly don't know that I ever have until this week. I about fell out of my chair in the study when I realized this does not say, children, honor your parents. It simply says, honor your parents. Say, Brother Matt, it's right there. I know. when this command's repeated in Deuteronomy 5, the word children is not added there either. Now, obviously, children are included. We'll talk about that aspect first, but the command is essentially for everyone to honor your parents. Specifically with children, though, in the New Testament, I read earlier in the service, before Paul quoted this command to the Ephesians, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So children are absolutely involved here. And so Paul quoted that verse. And then when we put that together with what Paul said in Ephesians and then this verse with honor, the way children can demonstrate honor to their parents is through obedience and submission. Honor recognizes authority. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Jesus always gives us the perfect example. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 2 at part of a story when Jesus was 12 years old. And he and his family have traveled to Jerusalem to observe the Passover feast. And when they started to return to their home in Nazareth and the caravan left, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. He stayed in the temple and he was wowing everybody with his questions and his answers, and they were amazed at this 12-year-old's understanding. But when Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus is not with us, he's not in the caravan, they went back to find him. So let's pick up in verse 46, Luke chapter 2, verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Sometimes teenagers think they know more than their parents. This one did. Jesus knew more than his parents. I don't know why y'all are chuckling at that. And yet, even with their lack of awareness, he didn't roll his eyes. He didn't slump his shoulders. He didn't backtalk them or have a bad attitude. Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, submitted to the authority of his parents, which is exactly the way he designed it to be. He still obeyed them and submitted to their parental authority when he was young. He honored them. Young children and teenagers, you should learn from Jesus' example here. One way that you can please God as a young person, and one way you can serve him now as a young person, is to have this respect and submissive obedience to your parents. You don't have to grow up to start pleasing God. That's the wonderful thing about it. You can please God and serve him when you're young, and one way you do that is by honoring your parents. That pleases God. But remember, us adults, the word children was not in the command in Exodus. And so this command is not limited to children, because you never outgrow the command to honor your parents. And we see that in Jesus' life as well. I want you to turn over to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, we'll pick up in a minute and read a few verses. Jesus is no longer a 12-year-old. He is an adult man in his early 30s. He has been arrested. He has been unjustly tried. The Roman governor of the area has proclaimed that he was innocent 3 times, and yet he did not have the backbone to release him. Instead, Pilate the governor Pilate sentenced Jesus to be crucified because that's what the religious Jewish leaders just kept yelling at him to do. And so we're going to pick up in verse 23 with Jesus on the cross after enduring beatings and agony. Notice verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said one to another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. I wanted to read all of those verses, the ones including the soldiers, to show the difference between the soldiers and Jesus here. The soldiers were selfish, caring only for the spoils they could gather from this crucifixion victim. It was common for the Roman soldiers to take the last belongings of their victims. They're casting lots for his clothes, and they're dividing things out, caring only for those things. Jesus, on the other hand, even though he's the one dying, he's caring about other people. Specifically, he's concerned with his mother. And he ensured that Mary would be taken care of after he died. And in verse 26, when he said, "Woman, behold your son," he wasn't saying, "Mom, look at me. Look at what they've done to me. Mom, don't you feel so sorry for me?" He was saying, "Mary, look at John as your son." And the context makes that clear. That's why he looked at John, the disciple whom he loved, and said, "You behold your mother." And everyone understood what Jesus meant. And so John took Mary as his own, to his own home. What we might call this is a reverse adoption. It's not adopting children. It's adopting a parent. Why would Jesus have to do this? Why would he have to set this reverse adoption up? It's assumed, rightly so, I believe, that Joseph, Mary's husband, has passed away at this point in his life. The last time we ever hear anything about Joseph was the story we just read in Luke chapter 2. He is completely silent during the ministry of Jesus. Plus, if he were still alive, Jesus would have no reason to set this adoption up because Joseph would still be around working and taking care of Mary and providing. So one author just simply says the traditional role of the oldest son in a Jewish family was to provide for the care of the mother when the husband or father of the house was no longer around to care for her. And Jesus, obviously being the oldest son, even on the cross, is honoring his mother by ensuring that she is cared for after he will die. If there were ever a time to be a little selfish, to want things to be about you, it would be right then. But nothing that Jesus endured diminished his love and his care and his respect for his mom. That's pretty awesome. He still performed the responsibility of her firstborn, making sure that she would be cared for. So, back to our commandment, you are never too young and you are never too old to honor your parents. Now, the way that you honor them may change throughout the years, but honor stays. When we're young, we show our honor through respect, through obedience, through submission to their authority in the home. It's what Jesus did when he was 12. But as an adult, Jesus' honor was a little different. As we grow up and as our parents grow older, honoring shifts from obedience and submission to making sure they are cared for as they age. It's exactly what Jesus did. I know that some of you in this congregation have faced in the past or are facing right now the trial of caring for your aging parents. And it can be a trial. It can be a challenge. It's difficult. You all know that. But remember that by taking care of them, you are pleasing God. It honors God when you honor them. Now think about the ancient world. How important would that kind of care be? There were no nursing homes. There were no assisted living places to help care for the elderly. If the family wouldn't do it, it wouldn't be done. So we tend to think about this command being something for children. And it is. But it's also a safeguard for the elderly in society in the ancient world, because their families were told to honor them. There was to be no group in ancient Israel that was cast out and not cared for and disrespected and just shoved to the side. Do you remember when we looked at the Sabbath command last week that even foreigners and slaves had the right to the Sabbath day? They were not to work even on that day. There's to be no group disrespected in ancient Israel. So this command was important for all of society. And God took this command so seriously that the punishment for dishonoring parents was death. In Leviticus 20 and verse 9, Moses wrote, "Anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." And the last part of the verse just simply says, "He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood is upon him." There's no excuse. You curse your parents, you deserve death. It's pretty strong, isn't it? In Deuteronomy 21, there are a few verses that detail the process of stoning a stubborn, rebellious, disobedient child. Anyone glad they didn't live in ancient Israel? Now, I don't know how often they actually carried that out, but that was the law. But the rest of verse 12 in Exodus 20 does offer something positive, right? This isn't something necessarily to be scared of. What does the rest of the verse say? "Honor them that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Sometimes we link this to a long personal life. And it can be. I don't mean to say there's not anything here with that, but this is not an equation. This is not a guarantee of a ripe old age if you honor your parents. I can prove that to you. Nobody ever honored his parents better than Jesus did, and he died when he was about 33 years old. So just because you honor your parents doesn't guarantee that you're going to live to 100, and just because someone dies young doesn't mean they dishonored their parents. But the promise is twofold. First, individually or personally, this is likely more to do with being blessed and enjoying a fulfilled life than it is just a what we would think of a lengthy life. One commentator pointed this out, that the phrase "living long in the land" was just a Hebrew expression that they used that meant, quote, to enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. And then he mentioned that the New Testament parallel to this would be what Jesus said, or what Jesus called an abundant life. Which is why in Ephesians 6 and verse 2, when Paul wrote in the New Testament about following this command, he wrote, "Do this that it may go well with you." It's a blessing. It's really simple. But it's good for your life to honor your parents. Children who dishonor parents and fight against them don't typically have a joyful life. They don't typically feel fulfilled because they're angry that their parents have authority over them. They're griping about that. They despise that. And trust me, that will cast a shadow and a thick cloud over your life, especially when you're young. It'll promote tension in a family, and that's not good. But the reverse is true. Thankfully, children who do honor their parents, boy, there's a good relationship there. It's a blessing. There's some enjoying the fulfillment of God's goodness. There's joy in those homes. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 10, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." Children have a lot of power in a home. Your attitude and the way you treat your parents directly affects just the whole tenor of the household. There's also definitely a larger application here in the context of the nation of Israel. A national application, we might say. God was taking them to the promised land. If the parents would raise their children right and the children would honor their parents the way they were taught to, that nation would spend a long time in the promised land, which was the same with all these commands. They would be blessed. They would enjoy the life God was giving them. But you know the story. Unfortunately, the Jews failed. Just like they failed with all of these commands, they failed to honor their parents, and so their time in the promised land was cut short. Assyria came and took the northern kingdom captive. Babylon came and took the southern kingdom captive. They didn't live as long as they could have in the land God gave them. Now, once they returned from captivity, we've talked about this with just about every other command so far, they took the covenant pretty seriously. But they missed the whole spirit and law and purpose behind it, and they turned all the commandments into these legalistic things. And they did the same with honoring parents. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 7. And notice how they began to treat their parents once they returned from captivity. Jesus rebukes them for what they did. Mark chapter 7. We'll read verse 9 through 13. Mark 7, verse 9, he said to them, that's Jesus, and he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.'" Well, we just read that. Notice what Jesus says in verse 11. "But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother,' thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." This isn't your only problem. There's a lot of things like this. What was happening in ancient Israel? And obviously there's nothing wrong with dedicating something to God. But what was happening in ancient Israel is that the Jews hid behind this tradition of, quote, Corban to shield them from honoring their parents. Corban just simply means given to God or dedicated to God. And so you might have an aging couple in Jerusalem who needed some help from their son or their daughter. Maybe they needed some food, and the son came over and said, "You know, Mom and Dad, I'd love to help you. Believe me, I really would love to help you. But sadly, I've already told God that I would give this extra money to him. I mean, I'm sorry I can't help you, but you understand, right? Aren't you glad you raised such a holy son who wants to give things to God?" Listen, if your parents need help and your only means of helping would mean not giving an offering to North Bryant that week or that month, then you do not give your offering to this church and you help your parents. If your parent is sick and needs care and it means you have to miss this worship service on Sunday or Bible study on Wednesday, care for them. Honoring them is honoring God. Don't hide behind God and use him as a shield to keep yourself from having to follow this command. That's exactly what the Jews were doing. Would love to help you, Mom, but I've already told God I was going to help him first. I I joked with Landon a few weeks ago that I couldn't wait to get to this commandment, and I was just going to stare right here the whole sermon. And then I got to studying it, and it was just as much for me as it was for Landon. So that kind of backfired on me. If you thought you were going to come here this morning and get off easy because you're not under your parents' roof anymore, sorry. It's the way the Bible is. This commandment is for every one of us, regardless of your age and the age of your parents. And since Jesus spoke about it and Paul spoke about it, yes, the New Testament demands this from us as well. So children, honor your parents. You can do that by speaking respectfully to them, obeying them with a good attitude, understanding that God gave them authority over you for your benefit. And trust me, as you grow older, it will benefit you that you have already recognized the value of submitting to authority. It will do well for you in a classroom. It will do well for you in band or in athletics or in the workplace that you know I answer to someone else. And ultimately, you answer to God. Treating your parents with honor is so foundational for the way you will treat everyone else. Teenagers, all the same is true with you. Maybe with the addition of giving your parents some credit sometimes. You may not think you know what, you may not think that they know how you're feeling or what you're going through. I've been a teenager before, a long time ago, but I remember. But they've been there. Show them respect by talking to them and sharing what's going on in your life with them. It's really difficult to honor someone that you refuse to communicate with. Young adults, you can honor your parents by doing that, keeping in touch with them after you've moved out of the house. Maybe asking for their wisdom when you're making a big decision. Not that you have a childlike obedience and have to do exactly what they say, but it's never wrong to lean on the advice of experience. And from time to time, as they grow older, see if they need any help from you. And for you adults with aging parents, it's a godly thing to honor them by making sure they're cared for. That may be with your own hands. It may be to make sure they're in a place that can do that because you're unable to do that. Jesus entrusted the care of Mary to John because he wasn't able to keep doing it. No matter our age, we should strive to honor our parents. It's something we never outgrow. If we recognize authority that's over us, we'll enjoy life a whole lot more than if we don't. Because ultimately, there's no authority except that from God. So if we learn to honor our parents, it will help us honor the one with all authority. I think it's pretty easy to see how awesome and wonderful society would be if there were homes where parents did the right things, and that's a whole other sermon, and then children treated their parents in a biblical way. Wouldn't we have an awesome society? That's what God wanted in ancient Israel. Problem is, none of us do it perfectly, do we? I know that everyone in this room at some point has dishonored his or her parents. Because just like all the other commandments, we cannot keep them perfectly. So be thankful that Jesus did. He lived a life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we deserve so that God could forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life. I want you to think that along with every other sin in your life, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for that time you backtalked your mom, because that's dishonor. He died for that time you disobeyed your dad, for that time you had anger in your heart because your parents told you you couldn't do something. All those things are wrong, but all those things are forgivable because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He nailed all of those things to the cross. If we'll repent and trust him, he will forgive us and save us. So if you're here this morning, if you're listening at all, if you realize that you're a sinner who has broken God's law and you're in need of a Savior, You're never too young and never too old to submit to His authority. If you understand that and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, repent and trust Him and He will forgive you. You'll have a new father. You'll have a heavenly father. John 1, 12 and 13. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's stand. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Prepare for an invitation. Father, thank You so much for this time that we could look into Your Word. Thank You again for the freedom that we have to worship You. Thank You for these commandments and how we can just see how important they are, how impactful they are, how they would lead to a wonderful society, and how they point us to Jesus Christ. And we're thankful most of all for Him because we cannot keep these. If there's someone today, Lord, who's lost, I pray for their salvation. Lord, help us to honor our parents and help us to understand the spirit of this law as well, that it extends to honoring other people as well, and ultimately You, because You have all authority. I pray that we recognize that in our lives. Father, forgive us when we fail You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.